And so when you think about that, it's like Brother Jeff said, right? That if you got your finances right, then you're free. Because when you owe money, whether you want to go to work or not, you got to go to work. Because you got to pay this debt that you have incurred.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series of messages from the book of Proverbs. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How Can I Be Financially Secure?
As we come to the message today, a couple of things that I want to say, that this has been an incredibly busy week for me, and so the notes are hot off the press, and I just want to apologize ahead of time that there probably will be some typos, and but don't let that rob you from getting the message. Amen.
All right. So again, for those of you who would say, after listening to the message today, that every time I come to church, Pastor Glaze is preaching on money. Okay? So this means that you only been here one time the whole year, right? Amen. As we come today, a few things I want to say before I actually get into the message. But when we think about the Bible, we need to realize that the Bible has more to say about money than it does about heaven, than it does about hell, and this is shocking, and than it does about prayer. The Bible has more to say about prayer. There are over 2,000 verses in the Bible that deal specifically with money. And do you know that 2/3 of the parables that Jesus gave dealt with money? So when you think about that, you know, why does the scripture place such a high premium on money? And I believe it can be captured and summarized in one thing, and it's when the Bible says, where a man's or woman's treasure is, that's where your heart is at. And I think that that's why that great emphasis is placed on scripture. Because as I've said on many occasions before, if you show me your calendar and your checkbook, I can tell you what your priorities are. If you show me those two things, your calendar and your checkbook, where you spend your time and where you spend your money, I can tell you where your priorities are. And so as we come today and as we deal with this topic, we've been in a series in the book of Proverbs, and we've been talking about seven burning questions that are in the hearts of God's people. And the question that we're dealing with today is, how can I be financially secure? Now, Brother Jeff said something when he was up here, and he said that when we have got our finances in order, then we are free. And that's a powerful statement when you think about it, that if you are dealing with financial issues in your life, then there are some chains and there are some ties on your life. But when you got your finances together, then you're free. You're free. And we're going to see that this morning. So what I'm going to do is, this is almost like like a lecture through the book of Proverbs on finances and all the areas that Proverbs hits. And as we look at them, you know, I didn't want to put them in the order of importance. And so I just went, you know, put them in alphabetical order. So we're just going to start in alphabetical order and just go through the book of Proverbs and look at some of the things that it talks about in the area of finances. So the first thing that we're going to start out with, and I know, again, I might not be a very popular person by the end of this message, so I might have to get some of my bigger church members, the men, to come and stand up front and escort me back to my office after after we get done. But the first thing, the B, is bankruptcy. And Proverbs has something to say about bankruptcy. And it says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. So this seems to indicate that we should repay our debts. That if we owe somebody money, and even if we have filed bankruptcy, and I know sometimes this can be a tricky situation, so I'm just giving. Now again, I'm going from the script. I'm gonna tell you when I'm in the scripture and when I'm coming from what I think. All right, so I don't want to confuse. I don't want to cloud the issue, but it seems to me that if you file bankruptcy, and at some point you get back on your feet again, according to what I'm seeing when you read that scripture right there, that you might want to try to go ahead and make things good. But that's, again, where are them guys at? Didn't I ask some guys to come stand up here? All right. So that's bankruptcy. Now, here goes one right here. Co-signing. All right. I'm trying to tell you how to be financially secure. All right. So let's look at co-signing. And we see the biblical word for co-signing, and most of the lesson message today is not especially PowerPoint driven, but it's notes driven. So I'll be going a lot from the notes today. The biblical word for co-signing is surety. So anytime you see that word surety in the Bible, especially in Proverbs, it's another word for co-sign. Now, it comes from a Hebrew word that means to braid together or intermix. The idea is for one person to interchange with another by taking his place. And so from a biblical perspective, it is a pledge to repay another person's debt in case of default. Now, in the book of Proverbs, co-signing can be a very serious problem. And I mean, this thing, as I heard some preachers say, this thing is serious. And as a matter of fact, as you read the book of Proverbs, it almost says, don't do it. Don't do it. Now, my wife and I, we have told all our kids, right? Don't ask us. They don't even ask. You know, somebody said, well, maybe your parents will coach. They say, they already know. Nah, I ain't going to ask them because they already know. All right? And now, you know, I'll say this, that the Lord has blessed me when two of my kids graduated from college. You know, I didn't co-sign on the car. I went out, and the Lord had blessed me financially, and I went out and bought a car for both of them. So I didn't have to co-sign for anything, you know, because I didn't have to be, you know, going around with my jaws all tight, trying to run them down, wondering whether or not they're going to make the payment. And so they knew. But they knew that Dad had their best interest at heart, and that Dad wanted to bless them. All right? So now, look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6 in verse 1. My son, if thou be a surety, so here we go. We're locked in right there on that word cosign. If thou be a surety for thy neighbor, if thou strike hands with a stranger. Look what he says here. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. He said that whenever you cosign for somebody, it's almost like being in a trap, that you have actually entered into a trap. He said, verse 3, do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy neighbor. Go humble thyself and importune thy neighbor. So what he's saying here, that if you by chance co-sign and you come to the realization that you did it. Now this, you know, and I know we can't do this, but this how important is that they're stressing that you need to go get out of it as soon as possible. As soon as you can get out of it, you need to go and take care of that situation. As a matter of fact, look at verse 4. He said, don't even go to sleep. Don't even lay down and go to sleep. That you need to go straighten this thing out right now. Look, verse 5. Deliver yourself like a deer in the hand of a hunter and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. He said that when you co-sign somebody, you're like a deer caught in a trap, or you're like a bird in a cage. And you know, when you think about a deer caught in a trap, and now the hunter is coming, you know, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And so what I'm taking from this is that he's saying, like, with the deer, when the hunter's not coming, that the deer needs to be like, or the bird needs to be, what? Trying to get out, trying to get free. And so that's how serious this thing of co-signing is. So I know some of y'all, I'll tell you what, if looks could kill, I'd be calling Mr. Dwight Law to come get me. All right? All right. Co-sign. All right? The third thing is debt. The third thing is debt. And basically, you know, what the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7. Let's look at that. Proverbs 22 and verse 7. It said, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is the servant to the lender. That whenever you make a debt, at that point, you become a servant to the person that you have partnered with. And so when you think about that, it's like Brother Jeff said, right? That if you got your finances right, then you're free. Because when you owe money, whether you want to go to work or not, you got to go to work. Because you got to pay this debt that you have incurred. And so it's important that we realize. And as a matter of fact, I have a slide that I put together on debt. And when we think about it, because I know somebody, you know, will have some certain questions. So, you know, I put this together, and I say that the goal of every believer should be to have no debt. Romans 13:8. It says, owe no man anything but love. That the only debt that we should have is to love somebody else. All right. Secondly, Proverbs 22:7. We looked at that. The borrower is a servant to the lender. And then Luke 14:28. Before you go into debt, you should count the cost. You should sit down and ask, is it, if this debt that I'm going into, am I going to be able to pay the note every month when it comes in? Because see, some people go into debt, and by the time they turn around and look at it, they got, as we've heard it said time and time again, they've got more month at the end of the money, right? And so Jesus said that no man building a tower doesn't first sit down and count the cost, whether he have sufficient enough to finish it or not. Or nobody going to war that does not calculate to see, you know, what resources they have before going into war. And so the same is true of debt. All right, so the next thing when we look at this debt issue, all right, and a lot of times, do you pray before you go into debt? Before you occur any great financial commitment, do you pray? I guarantee if you ask the average person if they prayed before entering into debt, that probably 50% would probably say, well, no, I just, you know, I needed this and I didn't pray. Because I think sometimes, you know, we don't want to pray because God might just tell us not to do it. And how will God tell us not to do it? How will we know when God tells us not to do it? Well, Philippians 4:6 says, and the peace of God will keep your heart, that you will have God's peace. And if we are going into or thinking about taking debt, and there's something in our spirit that's disrupted and that's troubled, that's God speaking to you. That's God letting you know that he doesn't want you to do that, all right? And then the last thing is, and I just kind of threw this one in, and that is you should exercise wisdom as you consider taking on any new debt. Because you see, I realize that most people can't buy a house cash. They can't go and, you know, payow here, you know, and pay the house off with cash. Most people can't go in and pay off a car. So we need to really exercise wisdom whenever we take on a new debt. And so now again, a house instead of a television. You know, some people will go thousands of dollars in debt for a whole TV system, right? Well, and then you're struggling in other areas. You can't pay, you know, the other bills that you have. Or some people will, I can see having your vehicle, you know, on debt or on credit opposed to, you know, having cable TV, right? So it's important that we have wisdom when we take on a new debt. Because there's some things that I believe that God would be in as we incur that debt. You know, again, a house. You know, I believe that God will work through that situation. And even a vehicle, if we need transportation, getting back and forth. And so we need to be prayerful about any new debts that we take on. So that's debt. Now let me move on to the G. And the G, oh, hallelujah. The G is gambling. All right, the Bible does not say thou shalt not gamble, bet, or play the lottery. It doesn't say that. However, it does caution the wise to acquire their financial resources by labor, all right? Proverbs 13:11, and stay away from get-rich-quick endeavors. All right, now that's the word of God. It also warns that attempts to get rich can sometimes backfire and lead to poverty. And so when you think about a lot of people who have, now, and I have sense enough to know that, you know, some people exercise wisdom in their gambling and they don't, you know, end up in financial ruin. So I understand that. But, you know, there are some people that it actually becomes their downfall. And they are actually led to poverty, just like the Bible says, because they don't handle it correctly. I was on a radio talk show a couple of years ago, and we were talking about gambling. And one of the guys that was on there, he was an expert in this field, and he was talking about, you know, how to counsel, you know, people who are addicted to gambling. And one of the things that he said that in one hotel in Las Vegas, he said that there's a back elevator, and the back elevator is for all the people who have gone, who have lost all their money, and they've committed suicide. And he said they have a special, and I thought, man, is there that much that goes on that they have a special elevator for something like that? But again, this is what the writer of Proverbs says. He says that, you know, if this is something in your life and it gets out of hand, then it could end up in a tragic situation. Now, again, you know, I'm not going to stay. I realize that, you know, there's people here, sitting here, right here today. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody help me out. Help me out. Thank God, man. I wish Jesus was still on the cross. He is giving me an amen. Yeah. No, I'm glad he's not on the cross. I'm glad he's not on the cross. Amen. But, you know, and when you think about it, you know, again, the Bible does not say thou shalt not gamble. Doesn't say that, okay? But it does give us certain caution. So that's all I'm going to say. So you need to be wise, and you need to be led by the Lord. All right. We might have to check our membership after this message here. All right. The next thing is giving. Is giving. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And it says here, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all thine increase. So what this is saying is that, you know, to an Israelite, is that when they, and their main source of income was agriculture in a lot of situations, and so they didn't necessarily have, you know, a wallet where they can peel off some cash and break it off and give it somewhere. But he said, whenever your fruits come in, that you need to honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruit of all your increase. That, you know, right off the top, you ought to give God his. And notice the promise that whenever we give according to the will of God. It says here, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Wow. What a promise. The fact that when you give to the Lord, that God will just open up the windows of heaven and bless you're going out and you're coming in. I like the little saying that I heard. There was a man, they thought him mad. The more he gave, the more he had. Amen. You can't outgive God. Just try. You can't outgive God. Now, you know, I was thinking about something that in the Old Testament, they were under law. They didn't have, Christ hadn't come. They weren't under grace. They couldn't pray and ask Jesus to come into their heart. They looked forward to the Messiah, but they couldn't pray and ask Christ to come into their heart. But they were under the law. And under the law, if you put up that slide, under the law, look what was required of them under the law. First of all, there was required giving. And that was, they were to give the first fruit offering. And that was the firstborn, according to Leviticus 27, of all animals. And then they were to give the tabernacle and the tenth, the temple tithe. That was 10% a year. Then they were to give the feast tithe. That was 10% a year. And then every third year, they were required to give a tithe to the poor. So what does that break down to? That breaks down, folks under the law, people who were living under the law, who didn't have the grace of God at that point on their life. They had the mercy of God, but they're not experiencing God's grace like we are today. And they gave 23 1/3%. That was required giving. And then if we go and look at voluntary giving, they were to give a vow offering and a free will offering. And the vow offering was a promise that whenever, you know, you were getting ready to embark on something, if you wanted a special blessing from the Lord, that you would give an offering. You know, just tell the Lord that you love him, you thank him, and, you know, any assistance and help that he could give you on the way. That vow offering, and then there was just the free will offering where they gave spontaneously. So my point is this. If these folk, because you know what, I know, there's a big debate, all right? I'm not stupid, right? I was born at night, but not last night, right? So there's a big debate as to whether tithing is New Testament. So, if you notice, I don't even get into that debate. Don't even get into that. I've had pastors that tell me, man, you mean to tell you don't teach your people to tithe? You know what I think? This is what I think. I think if God got your heart, he got your pocketbook. He got your pocketbook. You know, if you realize how God has been good, how good God has been to you, me standing up here.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How Can I Be Financially Secure? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, How Can I Be Financially Secure? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, How Can I Be Financially Secure? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, How Can I Be Financially Secure? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.